Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. So today, we want to share two extremely powerful questions that are going to help you. And these questions will actually put you into a frame of mind, Tor, that will guide you toward being and behaving in such a way that will magnetize your spouse to you.
I like that.
Like, doesn't that sound cool? in reality, what they're going to do is they're going to help you become more sensitive to your spouse's emotions.
Yeah.
Because if your spouse feels as though you care about their emotional feelings, then what it's going to do, it's going to draw them to you. We've talked about the power of gratitude and how it's a magnetizer. And this is not about gratitude today. This one is more about being sensitive to your spouse's emotions. But we're going to give you two questions that will literally set your mindset and give you a frame of reference and a framework through which you'll start to feel more sensitive and emotional with your spouse, and you're going to take care of them in a very special way.
Yeah, that's so good. And last week we talked about seven, really six, but if you break it down, truly it's seven healthy habits in marriage. And one of those was be curious. And to be curious, you have to start asking questions. Yeah. And so we're going to give you a couple questions to start asking.
I like that. Okay, now before we do, I have a great song for you. So for those country haters right now, first, I hate you. Not really. but it's a country song, okay? It's Lady Antebellum, which I guess their name now is Lady A.
Okay.
Because Antebellum is too long. And it is so good. It's called Can't Take My Eyes Off You. So if you are listening to this podcast in 2-speed or 1.5-speed, put it on 1-speed.
Or you will hate the song.
Yeah. And what I love about this, man, there's just something so cool about the way that they do their music where they've got like an accordion or something, harmonica, something in the background that is so cool, but their music is typically slow.
Yeah.
And they got great words. It's so good.
Let's hear it.
You ready, Tor? All right, here we go. That's what Tori thinks about me. And that is so good. I mean, it even gets better.
I love that song.
Is that not so cool? Like that to me is one of our best songs we've played.
You think so?
Yeah. And we played some really good ones, but I'm just, you know,
it's making me wonder if we've played it before, but
I mean, maybe we have, who knows? We're like 105 podcasts in. Okay. Well, let's dive back into this. We're going to get to the two powerful questions in just a minute, but let's lay a foundation. Here's what you need to know. It is 100% important for you to be concerned with your spouse's emotional well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not, we can't say that it's your responsibility, but it is definitely important for you to be extremely concerned about your spouse's emotional well-being. Right.
Yeah. It's your responsibility to be concerned.
Yeah. It's your responsibility to be concerned. I like that. Mm-hmm. It's a good play on words where you don't want to just dismiss your spouse. You know, you don't want to get to a point where you're not even paying attention to their emotions. You know, oh, well, because she's emotional or he's emotional or whatever. Now, granted, we're talking to healthy couples.
Mm-hmm.
99% of the ones who listen to this, you guys are healthy. Yeah. You got your issues, but you know, you're not in a situation to where, you know, somebody needs a frontal lobotomy.
Do you know what that is?
It has something to do with shocking your brain. My dad used to say, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Really?
That's back when he worked at the saloon in Kissimmee, Florida.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
That was before our dad got saved.
That was BC.
Yeah, before Christ. That's exactly right. Okay, so we're talking about it's important for you to pay attention and to be concerned with your spouse's emotional well-being, because marriages that succeed feel compelled to take care of each other's feelings.
Yeah.
I got that from a marriage psychologist. Mm-hmm. And he said that, and I was like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that's
it's like
good.
Marriages that succeed feel compelled to take care of each other's feelings. And to do this, we've got to learn to become more sensitive to our spouse. Now, sensitive, just think about sensitivity for a second. If you cut your arm, mm-hmm. right, and it starts to heal, and then somebody comes along and you're standing in a line and they accidentally brush against it, you're going to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't have a cut on your arm or anything and somebody brushes against your arm, it's no big deal.
Yeah, right.
You don't really feel it. So being sensitive is being heightenedly aware to feelings.
Right.
And in emotions and with relationship, we're talking about becoming heightenedly aware of the emotions and the feelings that your spouse has.
Yeah.
Mm. So to do that, we've got to train ourselves to become more sensitive. Now, in marriage, sensitivity is to change your behavior to accommodate your spouse's feelings.
Mm.
All right, I want to say that again. Being sensitive in marriage is changing your behavior in order to accommodate your spouse's feelings. Okay. Well, in marriage, this means you've got to be in tune with your spouse to know how he or she is feeling.
Yeah.
So sensitivity then allows you just to tune into, now, how are they feeling? Like, I want to pay attention and I want to fine tune, which when you're operating sensitively, mm-hmm. that's the word. When you're operating sensitively towards your spouse, you operate by love and not logic.
Yeah.
And Tori and I can see this so much whenever we coach and counsel couples. Because it's typically the guy operating by logic mm-hmm. and the girl operating more by emotions, right? And by her feelings. Typically. It doesn't always mean that it works like that. You know, obviously a girl can operate by logic and a guy can operate by feelings and emotions as well. But by and large, we find that when you learn to become more sensitive, that you operate by love for each other, which is I'm gonna come down to your level wherever you are emotionally. I'm not necessarily going to just stay in logic.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example, and I've used this example several times before, and it totally makes sense. It's not my own example. I got it from a marriage psychologist guy. If wearing the color orange,
mm-hmm.
you know, triggers Tori in some way, shape, or form for some childhood trauma, and it makes her feel uncomfortable, I could easily respond with logic and explain to her how orange is actually an action color. It's the color that you want on your CTAs, you know, your calls to action on your website, you know, the orange or yellow. And I could explain to you how orange is actually a great color, and I'm operating by logic, or I'm sitting here defending myself. I'm not wearing this because I'm mad at you. Mm-hmm. I just like orange. It's a great color, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It brings out the blue in my eyes. Or see, if I'm operating sensitively, I'm not worried about logic. I'm not worried about trying to convince you mm-hmm. of something. I'm not worried about trying to defend myself. Sensitivity then causes me to remove myself from logic and go down into love.
Right.
And love is fully dialed into your emotions.
Yeah.
Sensitivity says, okay, all right, hey, orange will never be worn by me again.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I love orange, even though I think it's a call to action color, even though all these things are true, yes, it doesn't matter. My wife doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it ain't going to go on my back.
Yeah.
Like that's a beautiful thing about sensitivity.
Yeah, because it's your awareness to the sensitivity. It's like, okay, clearly, you know, logically, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But clearly this is affecting, you know, this is affecting a wound, or this is rubbing up against a wound, or there's something
right.
is agitating, something that I'm doing is agitating the sensitivity in her. And so I'm going to acknowledge that, be aware of that, and correct what needs to be corrected so that I can be there for her in this sensitivity.
Yeah, and you know, sensitivity allows you to operate out of empathy and not sympathy.
Hmm.
So I'll give you the example. And again, if you've listened to our podcast for a while, you've heard me say this. Sympathy sees a drowning person and throws them a life preserver. Empathy jumps down into the water
mm-hmm.
and rescues them, and knowing that they could bring me down. So empathy is a willingness to suffer alongside.
Yeah.
That's what empathy is. So when you are operating sensitively, and we're going to give you these two questions in a minute that's going to help you do this, you operate in empathy. You want to jump down into the pit that your spouse is in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you a caveat. while it's extremely important that when you know that your spouse is in an emotional pit, like they're in a tough place, it's extremely important for you to jump down there with them and let them know, I'm with you. Like if we're going down, we're going down together. However, to the person who's in the pit, you have to know that if you don't get out of that pit, your spouse can't stay there with you forever.
Right.
They have to get out, otherwise they die.
Yes.
They can't. So you have to show that you can get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not just going to stay down in this anxiety pit. You're not going to stay down in this emotional roller coaster pit where you're just constantly feeling depressed and down. You know, whatever it takes for you to get out, get out.
Yes.
Now your spouse needs to be in there with you and to help you out. But if you don't crawl out with them, they can't stay down there with you. Otherwise they cease to exist.
Exactly.
And they can't do that. So what we're talking about today is now how can you grow more sensitive to your spouse so that you can fine tune yourself to be be tuned into their emotions and help them with their emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. Because when your spouse knows that you care about them emotionally and you care about their feelings, it magnetizes them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to get this magnetism? Two questions. Here they are. Never forget these. Question number one, how does my spouse feel right now? Question number two, what can I do to make them feel taken care of?
Mm.
Okay, so question number one, how does my spouse feel right now? Like not what's my spouse doing right now? Like just think about how they feel.
Yeah.
You know what this is going to make you do? The minute you ask yourself that question, it is going to force you to become empathetic.
Yeah.
Hmm. If I had been taking care of the kids all day and now it's 4:30, 5 o'clock and I'm making dinner for a family who by and large won't appreciate it, you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've been grabbed on all day. I haven't talked to any other adult all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Now I come home, you know, as the husband and I'm seeing you there in that position. If I have fine tuned my thinking to before I get home, I wonder what Tori's feeling right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it forces me to put myself in your shoes. So already I'm growing more empathetic, which means I'm getting more sensitive to you, which will govern my behavior. So then it's, how does my spouse feel right now? Question number one. Question number two, what can I do to make them feel taken care of?
Mm.
Same scenario. I come home, I walk in, instantly I see all the dishes out and the stuff that you've been doing. Cause you know, when you're married to an Italian and she's making dinner, the whole kitchen is used. Everything. There's flour everywhere. There's
cupboards
open cans.
Open.
Yeah.
The refrigerator door is open.
That's exactly right. Now, if I've been thinking about how does Tori feel right now? And then I start to think she might feel overwhelmed. She might feel underappreciated. Those are terrible feelings. What can I do? This is the second question. What can I do to make her feel taken care of?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I go in and you know, I know what I can do to make her feel taken care of. And it's not for me to say, hey, you should probably put more pepper in that. Hey, why aren't we doing green beans instead of okra? You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. She's Italian, so she doesn't make okra. But you know, like that's not what I should do. What I should do is get in and immediately start helping clean up.
Mm.
Guess what? Not just helping clean up, but doing it with a good attitude. Not like, crap, this place is a mess.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and clean this up. Watch what I can do. No, no, no. Then you're a bulldozer. But if I know I'm like appreciative of the fact she's making dinner, I jump in and start cleaning up. Guess what? It magnetizes her to me.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
She knows that I care.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I have done what I needed to do to take care of her emotions, to take care of her feelings. Okay. Now, if she's healthy, she responds positively to that. If she's unhealthy, she doesn't respond positively to that. Now, sometimes she's stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I can get in and help clean up and she might be like, the kids are driving me crazy. I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we got to come down from that heightened emotion. But that right there, those two questions, how does my spouse feel right now? And what can I do to make them feel taken care of? Those two questions are going to guide you.
Yeah.
So you become more sensitive to your spouse's emotions and it will magnetize them to you.
Right. And those two questions are questions of basically, how can I love my spouse better? Right.
Yeah.
Like that, those are loving responses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think it's so important to understand and to recognize that we love because he first loved us.
Yeah, like, that's a good point.
If we have not been receiving God's love, we don't have his love to give.
That's good.
And one of the best books that helped me transform my thinking about this. And I mean, I've heard that verse my entire life. I know it's so important to be loved by God. I know it's so important to be in a posture of receiving.
Like, what does that mean?
But it's like, I read a book by Bobby Schuller called You Are Beloved, probably like, I don't know, 10 years ago. And it was just really life-changing to me because it came at a time where I just think I was not living out of the abundance of God's love for me.
Yeah.
And that leaves you dry. That leaves you exhausted and striving and just doing all the things, like under the strain of doing, right?
Yeah.
As a mom, it was just like, just do all the things, get through the day, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't possibly love those that God entrusted you with unless you're loved by Him first. And so, yeah, this, he talks about, you know, just the abiding in Christ and oneness with Him in that, you know, in John 13, it says, love one another as I have loved you. You can't love others unless you have received God's love.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he has this creed at the beginning of the book and he uses it throughout the book and it's the creed of his life.
Okay.
To live in Christ's love so that you have that energy, you have the power to do those, to answer those questions that we're giving today. Like,
yeah.
You need energy for that. You need power for that. And that power comes through the love of God, right? And so the creed of the beloved is, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world.
That's cool.
And it was his reminder every morning of who he was. I am the beloved, because out of that flows life. Out of that flows my purpose, I can do all the things God has called me to do, but I have to first be in a position to receive God's love. And so I just think it's so important to, like, if you're feeling that drain, if you're feeling like that overwhelm, like, I don't have the energy to ask that question.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even have the energy to ask you what you need because I am exhausted. I am, you know, I'm burnt out, right?
Yeah.
Well, are you in a position to receive God's love? His mercies are new every morning. Like, you will not have the energy to answer these questions for your spouse if you do not first receive from Him.
That's good. That's like, you can have a really nice, you know, $150,000 Mercedes Benz, but if you don't put gas in it, it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if you want to tune into your spouse's emotions and magnetize them to you, then you have to recognize that God is magnetizing you to Him.
Yes. Yeah.
And you spend that time with Him in the morning, spend that time with Him at night, whenever that it makes sense for you, but to make sure that you're getting filled up. Mm. Now, these two questions, how does my spouse feel right now? And what can I do to make them feel taken care of? You know what it's going to kickstart for you? Romance. Mm. Because if you go back and listen to our podcast on romance, you'll see that we said, and I learned this from Jimmy Evans on Marriage on the Rock, that romance is doing what your spouse needs or wants without being asked.
Mm.
So tuning in, what would my spouse want right now? What does my spouse need right now? Well, I want to do that for them without them asking me for it. Like Tori at dinner. I know Tori at dinner time, she would love a jasmine hot tea. Okay, I know that. So if she's making dinner and then she sits down to eat and she looks over and sees me fixing her up jasmine hot tea, guess what? Not only does that make her feel connected to me and it magnetizes her to me because I'm tuning into her emotions, but it also subconsciously feels romantic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's romantic.
Yeah, you feel cared for.
You know? Now, my problem with the whole tea thing is in our cupboard is probably, would you say like 30 different teas? No, it has to be like 30, maybe 25. Because she's grew up in New England and they're like tea snobs and they know all this stuff. I don't know which one to pour at which time.
That I hoard in life.
And tea is one of them.
Butter and tea. I think those are my two things that... Yeah.
Everything's better with butter.
I don't know what it is, but if I am at the grocery store or even, you know, at Marshall's or TJ Maxx and I come across tea, I'm like, ooh, got to try this one.
I'm a hoarder of dark chocolate.
But it's funny because I always come back to the same one. So I don't know why I keep
buying. What is the one you go back to?
Jasmine. It's jasmine.
It's jasmine.
Yep.
Green tea?
So my favorite one is Harney and Sons Jasmine.
Jasmine. But is jasmine a green tea?
Yes, it is a green tea. I think this one is a white tea because it has like less caffeine.
Oh, no, that just confused me.
Yeah, but you don't have to be confused because it's just, it's the one that I have in the cupboard.
No, you've got a million in the cupboard and there's like English breakfast and green tea and rooibos. What the heck is rooibos? And then I found the one that I actually do like. It tastes terrible, but man, I love what it does, is Smooth Move.
Oh, yeah.
Heck,
that's
yeah.
That's Jason's favorite.
Get you some Smooth Move, gang. Okay, that's it. So there are our two questions. You want to draw your spouse close to you, magnetize your spouse, ask, how does my spouse feel right now? And number two, what can I do to make them feel taken care of? Let that be a grid. It'll draw your spouse close to you.
Yes. Okay, so a recipe for this week, you guys. Have you guys seen this viral baked feta pasta? It's been going around the gram, or I guess, what is it? TikTok.
TikTok. The gram.
Instagram.
Got it.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know the lingo, guys.
I'm with you.
It's everywhere. And it is delicious. And actually, it was so sweet. Our son Trey is at High Point, and the sweetest couple invited him over for dinner, and they made this. And Trey called me and was like, "Mom, it was the best." Like, it was some kind of pasta and it was so good. It hit the spot. You know, anything home cooked for a college kid is going to like be so delicious. And so he was so excited and he told me, and then I ran into the girl who made it for him at one of his games. And she's like, "Oh, it's this baked feta pasta, like the one that's going viral. I saw it on TikTok." Anyways, then I don't know if it was just that conversation. It probably was. It was probably that conversation with her that it started showing up on my Instagram feed. I'm just putting two and two together right now. That's exactly what happened. So anyway, so I kept seeing it on Instagram, and there's this one of the girls did it with chicken, and I was like, "Ooh, okay, I could, like, that would work," because we're not like big pasta people. And so I made this dish with I cut up chicken thighs, and then I did a chickpea protein pasta. It was, babe, tell them how good it was.
It was incredible. It's actually one of my favorite meals she's made.
It was so good. And I was like, okay, this is like, I don't know. It didn't look like it was going to be amazing. I'm going to be honest. And when I took it out of the oven, it was really watery because of all the chicken. Like I think I tripled the chicken. Like I did a ton of chicken, but when we started mixing it up, Jason's like, "You're gonna have to drain that." There's
yeah, I did.
But it all came together. We didn't drain it. We just mixed it all up, added the pasta, and it, like, the kids loved it. Jake was like,
"Yeah, that's when you know that you've hit it really well." When your 17-year-old was like, "Oh my gosh, this slaps!"
Yeah, yeah. it was really good, you guys. So I'll share that with you guys on Jason Torrey Instagram, and I think. It was so easy too. It was so simple. Honestly, you can make this, you can do this TikTok like in so many different variations. And so I combined, I think like three or four that I saw, like I added spinach. That was one I saw somebody added spinach. I'm like, okay, let's get some greens in there. I think the key is a lot of tomatoes. I did 2 pints of cherry tomatoes. And then pepper. I love a spice, and our kids love a little bit of a kick. And so red chili peppers, yeah, like what you put on your pizza,
the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No, just red.
You don't even remember that group, do you? Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I do remember. And there's also like a clothing brand.
There is.
Yeah, I think so. Anyways, the red chili flakes, that's what it is.
Chili flakes,
that to me, that's a must.
You know, there was a blonde joke that I heard back when I was a teenager. You said flakes, and I instantly remembered, what do you call a big group of blondes inside of a freezer?
Snowflakes.
Frosted flakes.
Oh.
Whatever.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Remember when blonde jokes were like the
really funny
thing?
It's not really so funny anymore.
Yeah. I have a good one, though, a good blonde joke. Maybe I'll share it next week.
You can't tell us now?
No, we got to go.
We got to go.
We got to roll.
Got to roll. Oh, you need to go pick Lundy up. Okay, yes. So Tor's going to go pick Lundy up.
All right, guys, this was fun. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget those two questions. How's my spouse feel right now? What can I do to make him feel taken care of? And if it leads to a little something, something, then you can just thank us later.
Let it be.
Peace.